What a blessing. The rest of you, if you would, get your Bibles out. And I hope you'll get your notebooks out or your little missions booklet to be able to take notes. And Brother Edwards, again, thank you for being here, brother. You come and preach God's Word.
Thank you.
And may God's hand be on you, brother.
Amen. God bless you. Well, I certainly enjoyed that testimony, those testimonies. And Lynette, that's a very beautiful song. Choir, thank you for all the time you spend getting ready. That was a great song as well, one of my very favorites. Take your Bible. How many of you ever done a sword drill? We're going to do a sword drill tonight. I want you to find two scriptures, Matthew 28 and then Acts chapter 1. We'll go first to Matthew 28, then Acts chapter 1. As you're turning and finding those scriptures, let me give you my introductory thoughts. I am an older man, and I don't know how many years I have left. I hope Jesus comes before my years run out. Amen? Amen. But I will say this. I'm just not interested in spending my time and energy on things that are not biblical. I want to do what God wants us to do. We live in the 21st century, and one of the things that I have observed is that in our generation, it seems as if it's not new, it's kind of discounted. And I have considered that I don't want something new just because it's new. What I want is what God wants me to do. And here's what I mean. I want to be doing concerning missions in the 21st century what God told us to do in the first century. I'm not interested in reinventing a new way. What did God instruct the church to do? And how did the church of the first century go about doing missions? And I think you'll be encouraged because I think what you'll see is that Crooked Creek Baptist Church is doing in the 21st century what God instructed in the first century. And it ought to be an encouragement to continue to do what God has given us to do. Amen. Now, having said that, in Matthew 28, first of all, let's look at God's plan for missions. God calls His 11 disciples to Him. He says, I want you to meet me on a hill outside town. And the disciples come, and He gives to them what we refer to as the Great Commission. Now, to be honest with you, it's very important for us to understand that if this Great Commission were just given to 11 individuals, well, they're dead and gone, and so the commission is over. But it wasn't given to 11 individuals. It was given to what they represented, and that was the church. Amen. And so you and I, 20 centuries some later, you and I, as we are here today, this commission is as viable for us today as it was for them. Now, what did the Lord say to them? Well, verse 19, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Now, if we were to unpack this in the language, we would understand that teach all nations, it's a very specific word, mathetuo. What He was saying to them was, go share the gospel with people, with nations, and make disciples of them. Go find lost people, Amen. Tell them the gospel, see them converted, yes. And then secondly, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is still important in the 21st century. To be honest with you, baptism in our culture is not something that is so difficult. Oh, we might be shy. We might be embarrassed to be up in front of people to get dunked over in the water. But it's not a serious thing. But I want you to understand, in this world, when Jesus said to them, I want you to baptize these new converts, it was a life-changing decision. It may mean that you lost your family or lost your job or lost your business, lost your home. Because identifying with Jesus by being baptized was a huge step in this world. So I want you to go make disciples. I want you to baptize them, to identify them with the gospel of Christ. And then he says to them, to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, what I have spent 3 years teaching you and allowing you to develop in your life, and what I'm going to give to you through the epistles that we're going to write and the gospels that we're going to write, I want you to teach all those disciples you made, all those folks who got baptized, I want you to teach them to observe everything that I've taught and I'm going to teach to you. In my opinion, that requires a church. I don't know about you, but I've been saved since 1975, and I ain't there yet. I'm still growing. I'm still becoming. God is still changing me. And by the way, one of the most horrible places any of us can arrive in our life is that I've learned enough, I've changed enough, I've done enough, I've become enough, I've given enough, I've served enough. Never. We are growing, 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 and it is right and good for us to be involved in a church so that that growth can go on over our lifetime. And that is why our focus, our primary, our priority, it's not exclusive, but our priority ought to be church planting missionaries. Because disciples being made in Honduras and baptized in Honduras need a Crooked Creek Baptist Church to help them grow all through their life and their families to grow all through their life. So that's the Great Commission. Go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, that's no easy task. But I want you to see what the Lord adds to that commission in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Turn there. Look at that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. That is an essential word to understand. Because when God says we are to be witnesses both, what he is saying is, at the same time that you are a witness in Jerusalem, at the same time you are a witness in Judea, at the same time you are making disciples, baptizing and teaching them in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, I want you to be doing that in both places at one time. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I find it tough to be in two places at once. And so, is it that God has given us an impossible command? If God has said to us, you go preach to every nation, baptize them, and teach them to observe what I've commanded, and I want you to do it in Crooked Creek, and I want you to do it in Georgia, and I want you to do it in the USA, and I want you to do it in the world, how do we do that? I can only be one place at a time. I can only get one thing done at a time. How in the world do we do that? Now, I want to tell you, it's exciting to me. God did not give us a command we could not fulfill. God gave us a way that we could accomplish exactly what He commanded us to accomplish. The New Testament plan for missions can be understood if we understand one Greek word. Now, 47 years ago, I took elementary Greek for a full year. So I am a Greek scholar. No, I'm not. I don't know. And I don't remember any of it. But I do own a Strong's Concordance, and it makes me extremely dangerous. The Greek word that I want to draw attention to tonight is this simple word. If we were to spell it in English, it's the word propempo. P-R-O-P-E-M-P-O. God uses it 9 times in the New Testament. And He translates it this way. It's very similar, but He translates it brought. being brought, bring forth, accompanied, supported, conducted. Mr. Thayer, who is much like Mr. Strong, describes it or defines it this way. He says, the word means to outfit for a journey, to allow for someone or something to be here and brought to there. Now, God says to us, I want you to do, I want you to preach, make disciples, baptize, teach. I want you to do it in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And the way God wants it to get done is for us to send missionaries. He uses this word in three ways. Number one, he uses it to speak of a church monetarily supporting a missionary. Now, I know that in Baptist churches and many churches, and rightfully so, it's so abused, money is so abused, and it's asked for in such abusive ways in so many places. But can we just be honest with each other tonight? I love missions because none of the money we're talking about stays here. It doesn't pay a salary. It doesn't turn the lights on. It doesn't buy curriculum. It is money that is sent across the globe to win people to Jesus Christ. And though we're shy about it, and visitors, please understand, this church doesn't talk about money every week, it is essential for the work of the ministry. And we have to accept that. But it's not only used concerning money. It's used concerning prayer. And it's used concerning emotional support. And when we put all those together, we will see the plan that God has given us to reach the world, just like He said. Now, I want to look at a number of passages. Let's begin thinking about the monetary. Acts chapter 15, please, very quickly. I am going to preach as quickly as I know how, but if I see you listening slow, I'll let you finish it. Acts chapter 15, I want you to notice in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised in the manner as after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now notice verse 3, and being brought, there's our word, propimpo, being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. What happened? Let me unpack it very quickly. Paul and Barnabas are preaching. They are in the area of Antioch. They're preaching to Gentiles, and Gentiles are getting saved. I mean, it's a great evangelistic meeting. And the Jews hear of that great evangelistic meeting, and the Judaizers don't like that. And so the Judaizers send a contingent of people down to talk to the converts of Paul and Barnabas, and they say, hey, Paul and Barnabas, isn't that great what they're telling you? Hey, they're just not telling you the full story. It's okay to believe on Jesus, but you've got to add some things to it. You've got to keep some parts of the law. And I want to tell you, if you ever wanted to raise Paul's ire, you start conflicting the gospel and legalism. And Paul confronted them, no, you do not add to the gospel. It is by faith through the grace of God. And he goes to the church at Antioch and he says, listen, these Judaizers are saying to our converts that believing in Jesus is not enough. And so the church gets together and says this. They came up with this determination. You know what? We want to get this settled. And so we're going to send you, Paul and Barnabas, we're going to send you back to Jerusalem. We want you to confer with James and Peter, John. We want you to talk to the other apostles. We want you to sit down with them and let's figure this out. Is it by grace or is it by works? And so because we're sending you, because we're asking you to go in our place, we're going to propimpo you. We're going to provide for you what is necessary because we can't all go, but it's the church. It's us that want to know the answer. And so get this and stay with this word. We're going to deputize you to go in our place and get the answer and come back and report to us the truth. Now, what happened? Does that mean when they brought them to Jerusalem that the whole church put Paul and Barnabas on their back and carried them to Jerusalem? No. It means that they understood things were necessary for that journey. Perhaps it was a gift of clothing because Paul is going to get cold sleeping outside. Maybe it was a gift of sandals. Maybe it was a gift of money because they're going to have to stay in an inn and provide a room and provide for meals. But whatever was necessary for that journey, the church said, because we're deputizing you to go in our place, we will brought you to Jerusalem. We will provide for your journey to Jerusalem. Lynette is here. Where did Lynette get off to? Hey, Lynette is going to South Africa. God has called her to go and tell children and others in South Africa that Jesus loves them and can save them. That's her calling, but it's your responsibility, Crooked Creek. God said to Crooked Creek, you preach the gospel to all nations. The blessing is we can deputize Lynette and send her in our place, and she can teach those children the gospel. But because it's our responsibility and her calling, we deputize her. She's on deputation. We deputize her to go in our place, and we provide for her the means to get to the field. Let me share with you another scripture. Very quickly, just turn up to Romans chapter 15. I want you to see this. I'm getting excited because we're doing what God told us to do. Look at verse 22 of chapter 15. I love this. For which cause also I have been much hindered, that's Paul speaking, from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be, now notice this, to be brought on my way thitherward by you if first I be somewhat filled with your company. That word brought on my way is that word propimpo. What just happened there? Well, Paul is finishing up ministry where he is. And God has laid on his heart to go to Spain and preach the gospel because nobody's preaching the gospel in Spain. And he contacts the church at Rome by letter and says, when I'm finished here, I'm coming through Rome, church. And I want to stop and I want to preach to you and I want to teach you and I want to fellowship with you and I want to impart a spiritual truth to you. But I have another motive. And for the first time, you know what we see? We see a missionary contact a church and say, will you support me to go to Spain? Will you brought me on my way to Spain? Somehow we have in our minds that the Apostle Paul was bivocational all his ministry. The only way he ever preached the gospel was that he made tents with Aquila and Priscilla. Listen, there were periods of time that he did that, but that was the exception, not the rule. Most of the time he was being supported by Philippi and Thessalonica and even Corinth, and they were providing for him what was necessary to live because the commission was to the church. And listen, no missionary, Lynette just loves to call pastors and say, will you support me? It's the hardest thing to do, isn't it, Lynette? It's hard. You know, I've never met a rich missionary. Well, they're missionaries, they're just in it to get the money. No, they're not. If they are, they're all failing, okay? They're not in it to get the money. They're in it because God has laid a burden on their heart and a responsibility on the church, and they're following the Pauline example of contacting a church and saying, this is the burden that God has given me, and I'm coming through, and I'm asking you, will you help me get to Spain? Let me show you very quickly just one more. Pardon me, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I told you it was a sword drill, so go fast. Look at verse 5 of chapter 16. I love this. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, Paul speaking again. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me... Oh, Paul, you're asking again. That you will propimpo me on my journey. Now get this. Whithersoever I go. Paul, God hasn't laid on his heart where he wants him to go after he leaves Corinth, but he says to the church at Corinth, I want you to help me wherever God lays it on my heart to go. Preacher, can you imagine a missionary calling you and saying, I don't know where God wants me to go, but I'm asking you to support me to get there. We'd say, I don't know about that. Let's get that settled. Let's read on. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But if I tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him. Get this. But conduct him forth in peace. Our word propimpo again. Folks, all I'm trying to get you to see is that deputation is not a modern creation. It's a New Testament principle.
Amen.
God calls young men and women, or men and women, thank you very much for doing that. God calls men and women. They surrender their lives. And then God sends them to churches where they in all humility say, here's the burden that God has laid on my heart, and I know that God has your church and you have a burden and a commission to reach that place. Will you conduct me? Will you bring me? Will you brought me to that place so that we can do the work of God? Now, let me very quickly say this. If a dollar saved a soul, we'd have won the world a long time ago. A dollar is not the end of it. Giving money is not all that is necessary to do the work of missions in this world. No, it is only through prayer that we break through the bondage and the chains and the blindness that Satan puts on whole nations and whole cultures and whole people. And we have an incredible requirement, an incredible responsibility to pray for these that we support financially. I want you to notice that with me. Acts 21. Acts chapter 21. Bear with me about four or five more minutes. You ever heard a preacher say that? Look at verse 1. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went abroad and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all brought us, there's our word propimpo, on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Now, quickly, Paul is on a ship and he is on his way to Jerusalem. The ticket has already been bought. Paul is not stopping in this city asking for help to get to Jerusalem. When you booked fare on a ship in Paul's day, there wasn't Carnival or Caribbean cruise lines who catered to customers. They were ships that carried cargo and they had room for a few passengers, and you booked on that ship and you stopped where they stopped until you got where you were going. And so all that is taking place is Paul has bought the ticket, he's on the ship, he's going to Jerusalem, but they got to stop in Tyre. And he knew it was going to be several hours or days, and it was Paul's custom that when you stopped in a port, you started going soul winning or look for a church. And he found this church, a small house church, no doubt. And he goes in and he's with them a day or so. And he tells them, here's what I'm doing. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. And right away the elder or elders of that church recognized he was sailing into danger. And they said, Paul, we would recommend you don't go. I wonder how many grandparents have said to their kids, don't go. Or parents have said to their children, don't go. Because I want to tell you, and I don't want to overdo it. I don't want to be too dramatic, but you listen to me. We're sending these kids into cultures they don't know. Hey, half of Honduras is trying to escape Honduras to get to the United States. And these kids are going to Honduras. I'm telling you, they're going into a culture they don't understand, a language they don't know. They're going to serve people who would rather kill them than listen to them. And if you don't think they need our prayers to protect them, we're crazy. And if we think that our responsibility is dispatched when we put an offering in an offering plate and we send that young couple to Honduras or Lynette to South Africa that has its own issues, if we think we're done because we gave our money, hey, I'm almost thinking that's worse to send them without prayer than it is to not send them at all. And we have a responsibility. We've deputized these people. We've sent them in our place. And it is our prayer that will protect them. It is our prayer that will provide for them. It is our prayer that will take the scales off of eyes. It is our prayer that will give them influence in a culture they don't know. And they must be prayed for. We fall so woefully short in praying for our missionaries. We are way better as Americans at giving what it takes to get them there than we are in praying for God to sustain them there. And one of the things that the church needs to get right in this matter of sincerely praying for our missionaries. I'm not scolding you today. I'm just trying to tell you that it's something we're not doing as we should do, and we need to get busy. Let me close with this. Drop back a chapter. Not only must we propimpo them with money, financial support, not only must we propimpo them with prayer support, we must propimpo them with emotional, I don't know what else to call it, but emotional support. If you would, just go back to chapter 20, and let's pick up the reading in chapter 20, in verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down, prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they propimpoed him. They accompanied him unto the ship. Again, I don't want to be too dramatic, but I believe what I'm about to say is extremely true or exactly true. The ticket's already been bought. Paul is getting on the ship. When it says they accompanied him to the ship, it's not about buying the ticket. He's got it. Hey, if you noticed, they've already prayed. They've prayed for Paul. You know what they're doing now? It's now time for Paul to go and board the ship. And as a whole church, the pastor, the elders, the wives, the children, the husbands, they all get up and they accompany Paul to the ship. You say, why is that significant? Well, I'll tell you what my mind's eye sees. I see that old man getting on that ship, knowing that he is going to be arrested, knowing that he is probably going to be tortured, maybe martyred. He gets on that ship by himself. And that church stands there at that dock. They've prayed and they've cried and they've wept, and the sail is hoisted and the ship is untied and it looses out into that harbor. And I see Paul with his hands perhaps on the rail looking at those that have just prayed with him and those that he loves. And the ship begins to go out into the waters of the harbor, and the elder says, make the kids be still. We're staying right here. And they do nothing but silently watch Paul. And Paul watches them. And that boat slips out beyond the edge of the harbor and begins to bob in the waves of the sea. And the elder says, stand still. Until over the horizon that ship drops. And their last vision is Paul still straining to see them. You say, preacher, why is that important? I've worked with BIMI for 25 years. Can I tell you that what is bringing most missionaries home these days? Some are aging, some are health reasons, but a significant number are coming home because of the incredible isolation they feel on a field. I've got 7 grandchildren and 1 wife. And my wife's mission on earth is to make sure her grandchildren feel loved. I mean, birthdays are a big deal. I mean, Christmas is a big deal. I mean, everything is a big deal. She contacts them. We live close to some of them. I mean, it's a big deal. I'm not trying to be silly. You take a little grandchild into a jungle of the Amazon, or to the isolation of the East, where communication is difficult. Sometimes you've got electric, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you've got internet, sometimes you don't. But I want you to understand that the mommies that we're sending on these mission fields have the same desires for their children you have for yours. The dads have the same burden for their families that you have for yours, that I have for mine. And I just want you to understand that a missionary can be so helped and encouraged when a mom gets an email from somebody back in Georgia that says, isn't this Ashley's 3rd birthday? And for once she can say in her heart, somebody remembers I'm here. Somebody knows my little child is here. Somebody cares that we're here. A card, an email. God has so blessed us with the ability to be in touch, and we're so careful to be in constant touch with our family and forget those that we've sent halfway across a globe, away from everything they know. Away from everything that makes them secure. You ever thought about, we take our kids to college. Ours are all done, but we'd come back from college. Number one, I couldn't even speak to my wife for like 10 hours on the drive back. No, I can't talk. Okay. We'd go back and our children's bedroom doors had to be shut. I'd say, well, when can we? I'll open them. You know, one of them's still shut. No. it be like to put your college-age kid on a plane and send them a continent away? Sometimes we just don't think about it. And I'm pleading with you, Crooked Creek. It's not just about dropping a dollar in a plate. It's about developing a relationship with those people that go in our place. It's about truly developing a prayer life. We'll talk more about it later in the week. That sustains them on the field. But it's about remembering they are there. And what they are doing. And putting ourselves out to be in contact with them when it is so simple. You know what God's plan for mission is? For us to know who we send. For us to care about who we send. For us to support and to outfit for the journey who we send. Because in truth, they are there in our place doing the work that God called us to do. But we can only be in one place. And so God sends them our way and we outfit them for the journey. And we sustain them in the journey. And we remember them on the journey. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to see truth tonight. And help us to get the scope and the sequence of what we're doing in missions. We get excited about the faith promise offering. We get excited about the number. That's just the very tip of the iceberg of your plan for missions. God, would you stir our hearts to not only give, but to sincerely pray, to get a prayer letter, to know what the needs are, to pray over those needs, to pray for influence on that man's preaching and to pray strength as she teaches the ladies and the children, as she homeschools. God, help us to sustain them in prayer. God, would you help us to remember them, to love on them, to send a note, an email, a text, it just says we remember where you are and we remember what you're doing and we care about you. We care about your children. Oh, we've become so impersonal. We've become so academic in all that we do. But God, may we remember that the thing we love about you is the personal touch. And may we personally give and pray and support those that we send. Just before I conclude, I wonder, just by a show of hands, you know, preacher, I pray a lot about what I'm going to give, but sometimes I go whole weeks and months without praying for a specific family. And God's touched my heart tonight. I'm going to get busy in how I pray for the missionaries of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Would you just slip your hand up, say, you know what, I'm going to do that. God bless you. How many would say, you know, preacher, I pray a lot about what I'm going to give. But there's a lot I could do. I sometimes think, I don't have a ministry. Hey, get that missionary list and start emailing the wives of missionaries. Start sending an email or a text on the child's birthday. Ask them how their child at college is. Ask them how their sick mom is. They'd love to be with their mom when she's sick too. And emotionally support these folks. God, would you just help us to see how big this picture is and how much we need to be involved. And move on our hearts. Don't let us just dismiss this, but move on our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you quietly stand to your feet?